Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Creator. Chapter 12. The accomplishment of the delivery and support of the aspects offered by God through His Gospel. One of the moments of great joy for many people who place an order is the moment of delivery of the item they ordered. For a person may have been exposed to an offer and entered into an agreement to accept this offer but still not have received the delivery of what was offered. If a person, for instance, buys a car, one usually goes to the store to pick up the ordered car. The delivery of the vehicle, in this case, may occur in the place indicated by the offerer. If a person buys something over the internet, usually the purchased items are sent to the place of delivery requested by the buyer. If a person has accepted a job offer, usually one gets paid for the service in a bank account. If a person has accepted an offer where another person offers him or her the provision of a service, that service is performed in the place agreed upon by both parties, but, on the other hand, it can only be carried out where the service provider can perform it. What we conclude from the above, then, is that just as there is a diversity of offers, there is also a diversity of forms of delivery of what is offered by the offerers. Therefore, the actual delivery of something that has been offered is also a singular, determinant, crucial, and vital aspect in the whole process that involves the surroundings of the offers, not being this different also in what refers to the gospel of God. Throughout the present subject, the gospel of God was considered as an offer that also delivers what it promises. However, the question that has not yet been explored more widely, so far, is what happens regarding the delivery of the gospel offered by the Lord. Moreover, another point to be highlighted here is that the fact that an agreement has been established between the offerer and the recipient of an offer does not guarantee that what was proposed always comes to be delivered indeed. Depending on what is offered and agreed, many things can happen between the agreement and the actual delivery, and it might even occur a mistaken or unexpected delivery of some items. Given this, if the moment of acceptance of an offer establishes an agreement between the offerer and the recipient, the moment of delivery serves as a ratification point of what was agreed. The moment of delivery of what was offered or what the recipient hopes to receive may be a point of great joy, but it may also be a point of great disappointment and frustration. Often when people agree to accept some offers that are presented to them, they do not evaluate indeed what is going to be delivered to them and what are the consequences of receiving what will be delivered to them. Thus, surely, one of the ways of evaluating an offer presented to the recipient is also the exercise of thinking about what will indeed be delivered and what will be the effect of receiving what will be delivered. A person, for instance, may be attracted to an offer of some furniture presented by some proponent, make the agreement to buy this furniture, but realize that the purchased item, after the delivery, has brought more discomfort to the environment for which it was planned than a real utility or comfort. And the points mentioned in the above paragraphs are also of great importance regarding the gospel of God. Considering that the gospel of God is an offer, it is also accompanied by the delivery of the aspects that are offered through it, but, on the other hand, it should be noted that God only delivers what is encompassed by this gospel. Many people expect to receive from the gospel of God some things that are not truly part of the gospel of God and express the desire to receive the gospel under the thought that it is a means by which they can achieve just what they aim to achieve. Some people are disappointed with God's gospel because they do not really objectify what God offers through the gospel or because they keep in mind that the gospel is a means to attain the set of gifts that a person could define and present to God to be attended by him. The gospel of God is not just a message, but it is also not a set of works that God performs according to the most diverse desires of those who claim that they have accepted this gospel. Through the gospel, God does provide countless gifts and benefits for those who receive it. However, The gospel of God is not just the fulfillment of God's works and benefits for the sake of the human beings according to what people think they need. God, through the gospel, grants or confers fundamental, vital, and substantial aspects necessary for people to live and walk in the path of the truth and salvation of God through a relationship with the Lord. And God, through the gospel, does not give people what they think they need to achieve what they, by themselves, understand by salvation, satisfaction, or happiness. If a person has approached the gospel of God with some appreciation but did not come to experience the delivery of some fundamental aspects that characterize the receiving of the gospel in his or her life, one may still be in a condition of lack of the gospel despite having expressed admiration for it. Let us see below, then, some examples of aspects that God gives to those who receive his gospel, which is also a reference to the so-called new covenant in Christ. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Acts 2:17-18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my menservants and on my maidservants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Colossians 1:26-27. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jeremiah 32:39-40. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Through the gospel, God gives a diversity of benefits to those who receive it, but because of this, it is also vital that people not only look for the most peripheral gifts and be careful not to distance themselves from the central gifts that the Lord gives them through this same gospel. To receive the gospel of God, primarily, is to receive the salvation and newness of life from the Heavenly Father and Christ through the Holy Spirit bestowed on the heart of the recipient. And this newness of life is granted to be experienced according to the will of the eternal Creator, and not according to the will of the passions of humankind. Receiving the gospel of God also contemplates the delivery of a condition by which a person can have peace with God and can have continuous access to the grace of the Lord, but none of these aspects are delivered through the gospel of God to an individual in a manner dissociated from the delivery, also at the same time, of Christ Jesus into the heart of the recipient of the gospel of the Lord. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Thus, if one thinks of receiving the gospel of God without wanting Christ to be delivered to him or her or to be in his or her heart, this person is not really looking for the very gospel of the Lord, for not objectifying what the gospel gives primarily and as a precondition for the other gifts that accompanies it. Although many people who receive the gospel of God do not make use of various aspects that are available to all, and even so are not prevented from receiving other items that the gospel offers, there is in relation to this same gospel a series of aspects that, when not accepted, represent impediments to its delivery. If a person does not want the fundamental aspects of the gospel to be handed over to him or her in conjunction with the gospel itself, one can put oneself in a position where no part of the gospel can be given to him or her. If a person wants some gifts of the gospel, such as salvation, but does not want to receive the light of the gospel, one raises impediments that refrain him or her from enjoying what the gospel delivers, since everything that the gospel provides is permeated by heavenly light and by the truth. John 3:20-21. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Continuing yet in the example above, if a person wants to receive the gospel to receive the delivery of resources in order to grow in their practices of evil, this person is not able to see the delivery of the gospel in his or her life, not because God does not want that one receives the true gospel, but because what the person wants to obtain is not indeed the gospel of the Lord. Yet another point to be seen about what God gives through his gospel to those who receive it is the fact that what God delivers as fundamental aspects of the gospel to a person's life may also cause effects of contrariety or conflict with some other points in the life of the one who receives the gospel of the Lord. When a person receives Christ, one receives the peace of Christ or the Spirit of peace. However, when one receives the Spirit of God, as the result of the delivery of what has been promised by the gospel, a conflict of this person with the flesh and the world may also intensify in some respects, as exemplified below. Galatians 5:16-17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Besides the works of God on behalf of those who receive his gospel, the presence of what is delivered by the heavenly gospel also brings great effects in the life and over the life of the recipient of this gospel. If a person thinks that he or she has received the gospel of God and absolutely nothing changes in his or her life, especially in the heart, one should check with God if he or she indeed has already received what the Lord has promised to grant through his gospel. And knowing that people have difficulty in validating whether they have indeed received the gospel of God, the Lord himself has established several checkpoints to confirm the actual delivery of his gospel to a person, as mentioned in various texts of the scriptures and of which we recall some below. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only but also for the whole world. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The acceptance of the gospel of the Lord implies God's actions in favor of the one who receives it, implies in facts that record the actual receiving, such as having the name listed in the heavenly list of members of the family of God. However, the acceptance of the gospel also implies that virtues of God are deposited in the heart of those who receive it, so that a new way of living and walking in the world may be put into practice through the instruction, strengthening, and help of what has been delivered to the one who did believe in the offer of God. Ephesians 5:8-10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And finally, in this chapter, We want to emphasize once again that the gospel of God also provides conditions for the newness of life in the Lord, which, without the gospel, would not be possible in any way to be accessed. Hebrews 10, 19-22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Through Christ, the one who is the central aspect delivered to the person who receives the gospel of God, an individual can present oneself before the Creator and can enjoy the fellowship that the Heavenly Father offers to all who accept his gospel, something that would never be possible without receiving this same eternal gospel. If a person truly receives the gospel, one also receives Christ in his or her heart. And it is Christ who will guide him or her in the restoration of the fellowship with the Heavenly Father. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Soon after receiving the gospel, it may be that a person does not yet know Christ in his various characteristics that have already been announced by God to the world through the gospel. However, if a person has already received the gospel of God, one has already received Christ with all the characteristics that are in him. Thus, in other subjects of the gospel of God that follow, many characteristics of Christ are exposed so that the reader may be taught about what is already available in the Lord to those who receive the heavenly offer, for if anyone has already received Christ in the heart as the eternal Lord, one has also received Christ with his manifold virtues. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In Christ, a new condition of inner life is delivered by God to those who accept it, for in Christ a person receives the newness of life in the Lord to live and walk in the purposes of God for him or her. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. God, through his gospel, grants the full conditions for a person to be placed in the position of being in Christ. And once a person learns what it is to be in Christ, one can also learn, by the same gospel, how is this condition of new creature that is delivered to him or her by receiving the gospel of God. Through the gospel, God gave his beloved Son into the world as an offer for the remission of sinners. However, in the present time, God continues to give his beloved Son to the hearts of those who believe in him, so that they may live and walk in Christ and that Christ may live in those who receive him. And this, also, so that those who accept Christ may experience the life of the new creature which is also given to them in conjunction with the gospel of God. Christ is the means by which God offers us his offer, Christ is the way by which God makes the delivery of his offer to us, and Christ is the means by which God sustains in a living and full way what is delivered to us by his offer. Christ is the offer that guarantees the delivery and sustenance of all other parts of God's offer presented to people through the gospel of the Lord. So, once again, we understand how relevant it is to recognize what is presented in the following texts. John 1, 15-16. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Romans 5, 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.